Hi everybody, it's Ryan George from The Thing You're Currently Watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 that I made several years ago. And once it's done, you can stick around after because I'm going to talk about it and things and stuff. While you're doing that, I'm going to draw a raccoon.
So, you have a script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's a movie about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who the hell are the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, they're Marvel characters that we own.
They are? Wow, that doesn't even ring a bell.
Yeah, most people don't even know who they are.
So why would we make a movie about them?
Because at this point, we can make a movie about literally anything, and people will pay us money to see it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and we're gonna make this one super funny, so people are really gonna enjoy it.
Enjoying funny things is tight. So how does the movie start?
Well, the main guy, Peter Quill's mom is gonna die and then he's gonna get abducted by aliens before he even has time to mourn her death.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What?
Super funny stuff. I love it.
I actually haven't got to the funny stuff yet.
Okay, good. I didn't get the joke at all, but I didn't want to look stupid.
So anyway, we're gonna jump forward 26 years and now Peter Quill calls himself Star-Lord.
Okay.
And he's gonna steal this powerful orb thing, so people are gonna try to hunt him down.
Who's gonna hunt him?
Well, there's this character Gamora and she's known as the deadliest woman in the galaxy.
Oh, so she's gonna win all the fights she's in?
No, she's gonna lose most of them.
Oh.
Yeah, and she has to be saved several times.
Anything else I should know about her?
Well, she's the daughter of the big bad guy Thanos.
And she works for this movie's bad guy Ronan.
And her sister Nebula is hunting her down.
And she's supposed to get this orb thing, but she was planning on betraying Ronan. Wow, it almost sounds like she should be the main character.
Yeah, I know, right?
Why isn't she the main character?
Because.
Fair enough.
There's also this character named Rocket Raccoon.
What does he do?
Well, he has this awesome scene where he's gonna save his friend by, you know, crashing a spaceship directly into him.
That doesn't sound very helpful at all.
Yeah, well, somehow it's gonna work perfectly and knock out the bad guy, but none of the good guys.
Well, that doesn't make much sense, but I bet it's gonna look cool.
Yeah, and also there's this lovable talking tree character named Groot.
What's his deal?
Oh, he's great. In the end, he's gonna sacrifice himself for everyone and he's gonna die.
Not permanently, he's not.
What?
You can't permanently kill off a lovable character. This is a Marvel movie.
Okay, but...
No way, man.
Okay, maybe I can have him be reborn and there's like a baby Groot at the end of the movie?
As long as he's not dead by the end of it.
Well, technically he will die, but there'll be another Groot that...
Look, is there gonna be a cute character named Groot available for us to use in the sequel?
Yeah, but like he'll be...
Well, then you tell yourself whatever you want.
Oh, I will.
So what else happens?
Well, all those characters are gonna get arrested by this police force called the Nova Corps.
Okay.
And they're gonna be super pumped that they caught Gamora since she works for Ronan and they've been having some serious Ronan problems.
Oh, so they're gonna question her or use her as leverage or something?
No, they're gonna immediately put her in jail to die.
Not the brightest move.
Yeah, they're pretty bad at their jobs.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, in jail, they're gonna meet this other character named Drax.
Oh, what's his deal?
Oh, he's funny. He takes everything literally.
Oh, that's funny. How's that gonna work?
Inconsistently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing whenever I can think of a joke to make, but other than that, he's just gonna understand things normally.
Wow.
And then all the characters are gonna escape prison together.
Is that gonna be hard to do?
No, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because everything in the prison is stupid.
How so?
Well, they have these flying robot things that can't hit a target. Then they have guards that take turns shooting rockets instead of firing all at once, which buys the heroes a lot of time. Then for some reason, from the control room, you can control gravity in individual sectors in the prison, so they use that function to escape.
Why would that gravity thing even be an option?
Because I wrote that.
Fair enough. So tell me more about this Ronan guy.
He's blue and pouty and super evil.
Oh, he's evil? That does sound like a good villain.
I thought you might like that.
Oh, I do.
So he gets an Infinity Stone, which gives him the power to wipe out civilizations like weed in a field.
Well, sounds like it's gonna be hard for the Guardians to fight him one-on-one.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though he can easily kill them on several occasions, he's just gonna kinda knock them down repeatedly.
Well, that's super considerate of him.
Yeah.
And you said Thanos is in this movie? Why does that ring a bell?
Oh, he's like the biggest bad guy ever. We showed him for a second in a post-credit scene in The Avengers.
Sounds like a powerful guy.
Oh, yeah, this guy is so dangerous, you don't even know.
So what's he gonna do in the movie?
He's gonna sit in a chair.
Oh.
Yeah, and make some vague threats.
Is he gonna get out of the chair, though?
Oh, you bet he's gonna get out of the chair. He's gonna do some real damage.
Amazing.
In 2018.
What?
Anyway, so at the end of the movie, Peter's gonna save the day by grabbing the Infinity Stone in his hand and then holding hands with his friends and then blowing up Ronan.
How did they know to do that?
I don't know.
Well, how is Star-Lord able to hold an Infinity Stone without dying?
Well, he's gonna tell Ronan, you said it yourself. We're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That doesn't doesn't explain it at all, though.
No, I guess not.
So how did he survive that?
Well, it's something to do with his father, but we're gonna explain that in the sequel.
The primary threat of this movie is solved by something we're not gonna fully explain till the next movie?
Exactly, yeah.
That's super evil of you, I love it.
Thank you.
So about this Groot character, I guess I'll have to track down a voice actor for him?
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much effort into that. All he says is literally, I am Groot.
So what are you saying?
Well, I mean, it'd be pretty pointless to hire a big name actor just to say three words over and over again.
Yeah, I guess that would be a big waste of money.
I tried to draw a raccoon and it did not work, so this is it's a trash panda. And I know it's not exactly what I promised, but you're gonna have to deal with it. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, also known as GOTGA. I really enjoyed this movie that came out almost 10 years ago. Hurts to think about. I thought it was very new and funny and also had a lot of heart, which was great. It was like a promising thing for things to come, as far as I was concerned when I saw this 9 years ago when I was a child. As you know, I am 14 now. But thinking back, I think this kind of movie was kind of a double-edged sword. It was kind of a turning point for Marvel in some ways. If I raise the tone of my voice towards the end of the sentence, it sounds like I'm not committing fully to what I'm saying, so therefore people can't attack me in the comment section. I didn't think it was the best thing. This Marvel movie went all in on the comedy, and people really liked that. The thing about James Gunn, he's very good at including heart in something as silly as Peacemaker, which is, you know, very silly. And I think a lot of Marvel movies after Guardians tried to do that and did not do it as well, and we were left with, like, a lot of quippiness. Which is one of the major criticisms you hear a lot about Marvel, is that they undercut emotional moments with jokes. Not to say James Gunn doesn't do that, he does do it often, I just think, like, this success of this movie led to a whole lot of that, with not a great hit rate. Another thing I think this movie did was kind of open the Pandora's box for Marvel. These were pretty obscure characters as far as the general public was concerned, which I certainly was. I'm not a comic book guy, as some people might be disappointed to learn. When I was growing up, I was teaching myself Macromedia Flash so I could make stick death animations where they were fighting and stuff. I was a nerd, but in a totally different way. Stickdeath.com and SFDT.com. A very niche audience is just gonna have some nostalgia for the websites I just named. Newgrounds.com. That's a more mainstream one. Anyway, all that to say, I didn't really know Guardians of the Galaxy, but I saw the first trailer for the movie and I was like, this is fun. This looks like a good time. And it was. And so Marvel, I think, was like, well, now we can make anything with any character. I think Marvel looked at this movie and was like, these things worked. Let's do them over and over and over and over and over again in several ways. Anyway, I guess those are kind of my retrospective thoughts on the movie. In terms of the pitch meeting itself, I remember having kind of a hard time with this one because it was, in many ways, a comedy movie. And you'll notice I don't really do a lot of pitch meetings for comedy movies, because when you're writing comedy, you want to punch up. So if I'm making fun of big studio movies, that is punching up because they're massive corporations and I'm just a dude. But if I'm making fun of comedy, I'm not punching up necessarily. I'm me in my comedy video saying that another comedy thing was not funny is pretty punch downy. And also a lot of times comedies take themselves a lot less seriously, and a lot of my jokes come from things that do take themselves seriously. But anyway, there are still things to make fun of, like the characters that never die. Since this movie has come out, characters have died, but now there's a whole multiverse going on, so it's like they could bring back whoever they want, whenever they want. Maybe we take 2 years off superhero movies and we do westerns for 2 years. And then we come back and then it'll feel fresh again. Oh, here's another thing that I think I made a mistake in this pitch meeting. I was going through the comments and I saw this one, and it says, actually, the Collector did kind of explain how the Guardians defeated Ronan. The Collector said that once a group of people were able to share the power of an Infinity Stone, preventing any one of them from dying from it. The Guardians just took a chance and figured if it worked once, and hey, I'm not gonna rewatch the movie to check if that happened, but I trust this person, and if that's the case, you know, I made a mistake. And that's the thing about being just me, is that sometimes things I mess up. I try not to make mistakes, but I do. And at the end of the day, it's unacceptable, and I quit. Hey Ryan, I love your videos. You always make me guffaw, and I'm glad I can help support your cast. I was wondering, how did you get Simu Liu to cameo in that one anniversary special? And that kind of ties into this other question. Have you ever had someone from the cast, crew, production team reach out after you release a pitch meeting about their movie or show? Edit except Shang-Chi. Yeah, it does happen. I've spoken to many people who have worked on the movies that I've made fun of, and generally people are really, really, really cool about it. At the same time, if the people that are not cool with it don't reach out to me, so I don't, maybe most people are angry. But the people that have reached out are able to laugh at themselves and also know that, like, I'm making fun of, I'm not, like, targeting one person. I'm targeting movies that are made by committee, and I've spoken to some screenwriters credited as the main writers on some of the movies I've made fun of who have had maybe 5% of their scripts actually make it to the final thing. So nobody takes anything too personally in my experience, and they mostly agree. And I've also been told a surprising number of times that my pitch meetings are kind of accurate sometimes. Sometimes they're not too far off from actual studio notes that were given, which is worrisome. And the Simu Liu thing, honestly, I saw he was actually doing an interview with Screen Rant for Shang-Chi.
From Screen Rant?
Yeah, Screen Rant.
Nice. I gotta say, your pitch videos are my favorite thing to watch in the world. And I know you're gonna do one on this movie. I know it. I'm expecting it. I know. I'm ready for it. Personally, I you know, it's just, they're just so funny. Anyway, sorry.
So I saw that video and then I reached out to him to say thanks for the shout out. And so that's how, you know, we got in communication. And when it was the anniversary special, I reached out to him and he was like, can you be at my house next week? And I happened to be going to LA that very same week. So the stars just aligned. So even though it's a green screen thing and we probably could have done it with me here in Montreal and him in LA, we actually, that was in person. This person's asking a very, very specific question. Do you use the same stack of papers for pitch meetings, or do you grab a new handful for each one? The question is so specific that I have to answer. I have absolutely no choice but to answer this. It's just always the same stack. They're all messed up from years of grabbing them. I don't even know if there's anything on these. No, it's just blank papers. There's a food stain on one of them somehow. I don't eat while I record. Movie magic. So that's about it for this video. Let me know if you have questions in the comment section that's helpful in making these videos when people ask questions. I hope that was interesting, and thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye. Bye.